ahead. This is Jane Gatewood convening the convening the PNB Audit Committee on June 11th. The current time is 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. California time. And I'm going to go ahead and call the roll from KPFA, Donald Goldmacher, Janet Coben.
Here.
Marty Wilkinson.
Here.
Brenda Medina. From KPFA, Brenda Medina.
Wait. Could somebody mute? There's some kind of...
Brenda is present.
Thank you.
Can I...
Also from KPFK, Fred Blair.
Present.
Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
From KPFT, Melinda Aridon. Nancy Henschel. Nancy?
I'm here.
Robert Mark.
Here.
From WBAI, Carolyn Burden.
Present.
Frank Lefevre.
Here.
William Herwagen.
Present.
From WPFW, Benita Diaz. Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Jane Gatewood, I'm present. Tonight's meeting was scheduled for the purpose of electing officers. And I think by the will of the body, I'm going to continue serving as Chair Pro Tem until we get past this. The process that's been explained to us is that we will need to arrange for a secret, if there's more than one candidate for the position of chair of this committee, we will need to arrange for SCV votes to be sent via email to some entity to handle the tabulations. So in terms of the order of the day, shall we first, I'm not sure if it's going to be more efficient for us to first address the process questions in terms of how the voting would be tabulated, or just simply deal with the nominations and any statements first, and then deal with process second. Would anybody care to make a motion to that?
Point of information. Someone had objected and indicated that IRV would be the appropriate voting procedure, and I think that that needs to be clarified participants.
Okay, so the process will need to be clarified precisely, but in a sense we may want to defer that discussion until we know for certain if we have more than one candidate. Is there anybody who'd like to make a motion in terms of going ahead with nominations first and dealing process second? Does anybody have a
question? So moved.
Point of information, Janet.
Janet, go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. Did you announce that we have a quorum?
Yes, I'm sorry, I did not.
Okay.
We have 12 out of 15 members present, so we have a quorum. And the only item of business on tonight's agenda is the election of officers. And presumably confirming the agenda for the next meeting. Any further discussion on the agenda? If not, would
you... Yes, I'd like to add, this is Brenda from KPFK. I'd like to add the notice for the next meeting and also to discuss the audit since we're on the auditor since we're on the stream. Thank you.
Okay, so as soon as we're done with the election of the procedures related to the election of officers, that time permits, we want to discuss the notice for the next meeting and the auditor. Okay. All right. So shall we move directly to... opening the floor for nominations for chair. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
So move.
Okay. Without objection, are there any nominations for the position of chair? Actually, can we have a secretary pro tem? I'm sorry. I've been trying to do both, but it's a little difficult to do both Chair Pro Tem and Secretary Pro Tem.
This is Margie. I'll take notes.
Thank you. Okay, so the floor is now open for nominations for the position of Chair of the Audit Committee.
Point of information, Jane. Can people self-nominate, or do they need to be nominated by a person different than themselves?
No, they can nominate, self-nominate.
Carol,
okay.
I'm sorry. My understanding, you guys, is that people can self-nominate. Does anybody know otherwise?
No.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
Carolyn, on the stack, please.
Carolyn, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to nominate Jane Gatewood and Fred Blair both.
Okay, I accept.
And I accept also.
This is Margie for the stack.
Margie, go ahead.
I'd like to nominate Campbell Johnson.
I'll accept. Thank you.
Are there any more nominations? Hearing none, the nominations are closed for the position of chair. Shall we allow, since there's more than one candidate, the procedure for elections will be that somebody will need to prepare a ballot with the three candidates' names on it, and every member of our committee will be asked to rank their preferences for chair, indicate their rank preferences for each of the candidates. Those ballots then will need to be sent via email to an independent person.
Tabulator.
Thank you. And so we will need to...
Lawrence is back, sorry.
So we will address that in a moment, but prior to dealing with the nitty-gritty of the tabulation process, I'd like to ask if we could accept a process where each person makes a very brief statement, hopefully a minute to at the most, and then if there's any questions that any members have, that we allow 10 minutes for questions for all three candidates, and at the end of 10 minutes, if there's a need, if somebody would like to extend questions, that they can so move. Would that be acceptable?
Sure. Margie moves that we hear from each of the candidates briefly and allow questions from members of the committee.
Janet seconds.
I just want to suggest that we leave the issue of how the balloting will be handled until after we hear from the candidates, and then have a separate discussion on that. Okay.
Great. That was my suggestion. So
okay.
Without objection, that's how we'll handle it.
Okay.
All right. So would somebody like to go first?
Well, if nobody's going to volunteer, let's just do it in the order they were nominated.
I have a point of information, please.
Carolyn, is that you?
Yes, I'm sorry. Can we agree on perhaps 2 minutes for each candidate? And
maximum of 2 minutes, please.
And someone for timekeeper? I'm glad to do that if no one else will, but...
I can do that.
Okay.
Brenda, I'll be timekeeper since I'm not nominated.
Okay, thank you.
Who is that speaking up?
This is Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda. All right, well, since the since nobody has volunteered, this is Jane Gatewood. I would like to speak to my reason for offering to serve as chair of the PNB Audit Committee in 2013. This is the only national committee that I am a member of this year. I've selected this committee because I've had experience on this committee and in a number of different chairs, and I think that at this time in the juncture of the foundation, this committee does play a very, very important role. I see the role of this committee as ensuring the timely delivery of an independent audit to the foundation, an audit which is both accurate and informative. I think that sometimes in the past, the committee has diverged and dealt with other topics which I believe would be more properly forwarded to other committees, such as the finance or the coordinating committee. I think that we need to do our job and do it well, and I think I could help make sure that the time we spent on this committee is focused very effectively on that task. Thank you.
Very good.
I think Fred, you were next.
Okay. Thank you, Jane. You were very succinct. Well, I've also spent 2 years on this committee. Last year I chaired it because I guess I was the only one who was willing to put the energy and effort into doing the major work which we had to do, which is find a new auditor. Again, my view of chairing is that basically the chair of a committee does the will of the body of the people on the committee, and the chair is basically a traffic cop that directs discussion and keeps the committee on time. That's very formalistic, but I think it's also an important point for the chair. And I think that, you know, I think the corporation likewise is in a very delicate situation, and it's very important that we do our job this year. I'm not much of a speaker, so I think I've gotten myself into a excuse me. So I'm proposing to run for chair again this year. If the people feel that they would like me to serve, you'll vote for me. Otherwise, I'd be very happy to see Jane elected. Okay.
I guess it's my turn now.
Go ahead, Campbell.
Okay, thank you very much. I also have served on this committee for under two separate terms, and I served as secretary of the committee. I bring to this committee, I think, a sense of concern. I certainly was aware of what was going on when we got our first going concern alert, and I put before the national board a series of recommendations that I'd gone through Nia Bidiaco, who's also a former bank officer, and the national board, I think purely on political basis, did not act on these recommendations. If we had, we wouldn't be in this situation, I think, that we are now. We had never before national board meetings received a CFO report, and that's the kind of thing that we really do need. The CFO's report doesn't need to be much of a narrative, but you need to have the numbers. I've got a background in banking and finance. I'm familiar with the financial recovery plan that was put together. I was on the FRAC when that came, was put together, and I think that is something that's very important, and it's something that our last auditor required the foundation to act on, and I think we would be in an unfortunate situation if we failed to do so. I would say also I bring to this function a background that's relevant. I'm a former executive vice president of a national development finance firm, former bank controller in a major mid-Atlantic bank. I have an MBA degree in finance from the Wharton School, and I've also started two nonprofit professional associations that have become national organizations. So I would ask for your support, and thank you very much. We need to turn Pacifico around.
All right, so the floor is now open for questions.
Bergen for the spell.
Okay, that last one said everything but his name.
Campbell Johnson.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. We're going to go ahead and start with 10 minutes for Q&A. If somebody wants to move to extend it, then they can do so. Does anybody have any questions for any of the candidates?
Lawrence Stack.
Lawrence, go ahead.
I see that Campbell has a great experience, a lot of financial recovery planning experience, and plans with a lot of experience in the financial arena. What experiences do the other two candidates have in the finance industry, or if not in the finance industry? And I want a chair that's more than just a traffic cop too. So, yeah, no pun intended, but I just didn't feel comfortable with the cop word. So, sorry about that.
Janet Stack.
Okay. Anybody else for the stack before we start answering Lawrence's question? If not, this is Jane. I'm going to respond first, unless you would prefer to, Fred.
Well, specifically, I don't have a background in finance. I have a background in engineering, so obviously I'm very good with numbers and logic. I'm basically self-trained, and I've been spending a lot of time on the finance committee here at KPFK for the last couple of years, trying to understand what's going on with the finances. I realize that, I think, effort and hard work is, mostly what's, important in functioning of these committees. I'm sorry, but I wish I did have the training that Campbell has, but I'm going to leave it at that. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry too. This is.
I feel overwhelmed.
This is Jane Gatewood, and I feel more sorry than Fred Blair, but I really am. I served as treasurer for WPFW for 2 years. During that time, I worked hand in hand with our business manager. During that entire time, we were promised that our business manager would be receiving training in the Great Plains software. I saw the financial statements that were coming out of the KPFA. I sat down with our business manager, and I worked on some spreadsheets. I can do programming in Excel spreadsheets. I thought, well, this isn't the way I would do it, but if they want to do reports and spreadsheets, I can do that. I worked with him on our local spreadsheets. Unfortunately, it never really amounted to much. It was very frustrating. There were never any dots connected. Back at that time, on the finance committee, we had this motion that was passed that said that there should be a dotted line relationship between the chief financial officers and our business managers. And the idea was that we were going to begin to make some real progress in terms of financial accounting to our stations. Prior to that expense, I'm a commercial real estate appraiser. Back 20 years or so ago, I worked with the Farm Labor Organizing Committee. I was an assistant to the treasurer. We were involved in preparing annual reports to our funders, and that's how I kind of got my feet wet. It seems like I've always tried to avoid accounting, but throughout my entire life, no matter what, I just keep being brought back to it. Right now, We have a situation where the auditor should be accountable to this committee. I'm not sure what has been said to that person. I don't understand what happened, how it got to be May. When we interviewed this auditor last year, we were told that the bulk of work was going to be done in January, and I've been hearing a lot of different reports. I don't want to slow this auditor down. If this auditor is genuinely in the middle of a lot of work, I want to encourage him and his team to get their job done, you know, but meet with us to answer the committee's questions. We have an intelligent group of people here who have a lot of experience on the ground. I think that we want some answers before this auditor wraps up his report. I think we want a little bit of assurance that they've done enough on-the-ground testing so that this is going to be a reliable audit. But on the other hand, we don't want to be the cause of them not meeting that deadline that is apparently at risk of not being met for the CPB report. That's all I have to say. Next on the staff was, I think, Janet.
Yes, hi. Okay, so the question I would like to ask is, it's one thing to have skills in finances and auditing. It's another to have the skill of facilitating a committee. And so I would like all of you to talk about your skill in facilitation and communication. That's basically it.
This is Jane Gatewood. I would say that the bulk of my I've served on several different national committees, so I've learned from good facilitators and bad facilitators both, and try to emulate the better ones. I think as Fred alluded to, it is important to have that traffic management skill so that you can make sure that everybody on the committee has a chance to speak. But the big issue, the pitfall that seems to happen is when we start diverging, we need to deal with one topic at a time. I think that's a critical skill. At the beginning, we need to get the notices out in terms of what we're going to be covering. Even though we're all stretched thin, it's really difficult to take on this additional workload. If I'm elected as chair, I would consider it my responsibility to make sure that
we have 3 minutes.
Things are lined up to be able to work effectively during the meetings that are scheduled. Campbell or Fred, would you like to speak to that one?
Let me start off and let Campbell finish up. Obviously, I've served as 1 year as chair, and I've worked well with people, so that's one point in my favor. I've been willing to do the work. Since I'm a technologist, I've done a lot of the posting of files up on our website. If those people don't know, we actually have a file server where we store our Pacifica files, and I posted the calendar, and I've sent out emails to the group. So I've consistently tried to keep people informed the best I could. I've talked to different auditors during last year's search, and dealt well with those people. So that's pretty straightforward. Living the life of a Pacifica committee, and keeping it functioning. I don't know what else I can say on that. I'm gonna leave it at that.
Campbell?
We're at 10 minutes.
Can we allow another minute or two for Campbell? And then if there's a desire to continue questions, we'll ask for a motion to extend at that point.
Lawrence, second.
Sounds
point
good.
Of order? Point of order?
Lawrence, go ahead.
I think we should give Campbell a fair amount of time that both the other previous nominees had.
Okay.
Thank
I
you.
Think that's about that two minutes. Is that right, Margie?
Sounds good to me.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And one thing that certainly Ray Charles would have been able to see from the grave is that Pacifica is a very political organization. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes the politics gets in the way of being able to operate in an effective, efficient manner to get the job done. And I think that while certainly we need to engage the issues that may divide us, the issues about which we may have some confusion or something, we also need to be sure that the organization continues to exist. And this is done by accomplishing our fiduciary responsibilities in terms of how we need to serve the members and the mission. And so this is the way in which I think that I can provide leadership that's going to be useful for this organization. We had a number of changes, adjustments that our auditor has recommended over the years. And what folks are trying to do is to get the auditor to do these things. That's not the legal way to go about it. You need a separate firm to do that because you're setting up a conflict of interest. But I don't think many people really sensed or understood what that situation was. We're in a critical situation, ladies and gentlemen, and what we need to do is to move in a very assertive, direct, and confident fashion to resolve these issues and problems and to make money. Now, that's one thing that I added when I was treasurer at WPFW. I got involved in fundraising, and I think that that's a very important thing for us to keep a mind on and to get as many people, student body left, student body right, involved in fundraising across the stations, and people don't seem to want to do that. I had served on a number of committees and sought to accomplish this as well, and I think that what we can do in terms of looking at the progress of the financial recovery plan, we can provide the leadership for the foundation to begin to address, look at, and not settle for political solutions, but settle for resolutions that are going to help us hit the bottom line in a more positive way. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Campbell. Would anybody like to move to extend Q&A on the position of chair? If not, then I think we need to move the candidate statement period and deal with the process of elections without objection.
A point of information, Jane, how about the position of secretary? Do we need to make nominations for that also?
Yes, we do need to do that. Can we
we'll just see if there are any nominations.
Are there any nominations for secretary? I would like to nominate Margie.
I'm willing to do it.
Are there any other nominations?
Second.
Thank you, Margie. Are there any?
Well, this is Janet.
Janet?
I have a question. I don't know whether it's point of order, point of information. So there are three candidates for chair. And I'm wondering whether any of the candidates, if they are not selected for chair, would they be willing to run for a secretary position?
Let me respond to that. I didn't want
to. I think you had a question.
I think everybody was ready to jump in on it, but I'd like to respond to that. I founded another organization, a third one, I was president of the Philadelphia chapter and founder of Philadelphia chapter, National Black MBA Association, Urban Bankers Coalition, Delaware Valley. I was chair of that. I founded in D.C. to fight displacement of low and moderate income people, an organization called Urban Housing Alliance. And y'all may remember Ambrose Lane, and he had encouraged me to get involved with WPFW, and it was primarily because of that that I had gotten involved in the station, other than being a member, because I love the blues. And what occurred is that I have put a lot of energy into working with WPFW, and then on the national board, and I've served on five national committees, co-chaired one, and secretary of another. And as a result of this, I've had the board of my Urban Housing Alliance question what am I doing and my commitment of effort. And we're at a point where there are a lot of things that need to be engaged in D.C. WPFW, because I'm not on the same side as some other folks, has frozen the issues that I'm representing, frozen them out from any consideration, and I hardly get any opportunity to share that with the public, while the public has very much accepted and been concerned about the concerns that we've raised. I really wouldn't see that I'd be able to legitimately serve as secretary of the committee if I did not chair it. Thank you.
This is Jane. Just to respond to your question, it's conceivable that you could twist my arm, but since Mari has said that she would be willing, it'd be a real hard sell for me for you to twist my arm that hard.
I'll second that.
But
yeah, can I ask a question, please?
Who's that speaking?
This is Lawrence from KPFK.
Lawrence, go ahead.
Are we on the stream? I've been having problems with my phone, and I can't, you know, I'm back on the landline now, so.
Yes, we're on the stream. We were on the stream for about 30 minutes before we knew we were on the stream, so.
Oh, okay.
We
were on the stream from 9 o'clock approximately.
Yes. So okay. At this point, we have three nominations for chair. We have one nomination for secretary. Are there any further nominations for secretary? Because if not, I'd like to move on to the question of the process for elections.
This is William, put us back.
Go ahead, William.
If there are no other nominations, I move that we accept Margie as the secretary.
Oh, thank you. Without objection?
Without objection.
Well done, William. Okay. So then on the matter of electing the chair, we will have to have somebody prepare a ballot and mail it to each of us. Is there anybody who would be willing to prepare that ballot and mail it to the committee?
Well, that sort of seems like it would be the secretary's job.
Thank you.
Go, Margie.
Now, wait. It gets worse. Carolyn said that she'd be willing to contact Summer, and I think that would be very helpful. Janet and I are both in the immediate area of the national office, and I was going to ask Janet if she'd be willing to work with me on the idea of trying to get make this happen, make sure that we find somebody in the national office who can handle this the balloting for us, since we haven't been terribly lucky on that so far.
Okay, so if I could, it's Margaret will prepare the ballots, and now we're moving on to the second question, which is where are we going to send the ballots to? I'm sorry.
So this is Janet, and I'd like to take Margie up on her idea, and we could get in touch offline.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't quite understand. I wanted to mention that there is another option available to. So what I heard earlier is that I heard Campbell objecting to adding this to the national office, and I heard other people saying it was a good thing to call on them. I did want to mention that there is another possibility that FairVote here in Washington has handled our ballots many times. They're very easy to work with.
Point of information.
So I just one moment. So in terms of what Margie and Janet were just saying, are you specifically going back to the original proposal of actually getting the national office to handle this the way that they have done in the past?
I didn't know about FairVote.
Campbell mentioned League of Women Voters, and I just thought, well, hey, FairVote has done this for us many times. So, but the question is, do we want to try to get the national office to pick up the ball and do this, or would we prefer a different approach? Because I heard Campbell specifically saying he thought we should take a different approach. Campbell, did I misunderstand?
No, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
FairVote has only gone to tabulate, and they, in fact, in the last so-called election that occurred in D.C., were pushed around and were not able to address a number of the issues pertaining to the bylaws. They aren't going to be engaging anything pertaining to the bylaws. That's why I explicitly said League of Women Voters, because will consider the bylaws of the organization.
I disagree with your interpretation, but I think the first question.
This is what the head of
William
Fairbanks wrote to me in writing.
Okay. Let's just
Janet back.
Go ahead, Janet.
Well, what I would suggest is that Margie and I approach the national office to see if they have the bandwidth to handle this. And if not, that we then explore other possibilities.
Sounds great to me.
Okay. I think that's a fine proposal. But we have to do it within the next 2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah. William, to the stack.
Okay, so as I understand it, the proposal on the table is that Margie and Janet will take the lead in either coordinating with the national office that it can be done the way it's been done in the past, or working with other committees to line up another alternative. Is that more or less correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait. It's not or. It's and if not. Then we would go to the.
Yes. If the national office doesn't have sufficient bandwidth, then you would go to come back. You would look into alternatives, and work out something, and we would empower you to work out something.
Okay. Thank you,
William.
Thank you. I'd like to point out, in case you have lots of luck with getting someone at national to do this, and you two could actually then. Facilitate getting these ballots out to, or Margie, you could get the ballots out to us. Those ballots should be in attachment format, so if they do get sent back to somebody at National, those attachments with our votes in them could be separated from the names, so we'll have the secret ballots, and then
right.
You two could witness the opening the attachments.
Right.
We might get lucky and get this all done. Thank you.
Just a question for you guys out in Berkeley. If you strike out with getting a process set up with the national office similar to what Christine used to coordinate, are you comfortable just finding a suitable neutral party to coordinate it?
Sure.
Okay. Is that accessible to committee? Are there any objections, any proposed amendments to that process?
Without objection.
Janet,
go ahead.
Again, being new to all this, I'm wondering whether, if we find that the national office can't handle this, should we contact or post something to the list, to the audit list, about this and maybe ask for alternatives, we already have some alternatives, but rather than just Margie and I deciding
I would like
to... Carolyn on the stack, please.
Carolyn, and then this is Jane. I'd like to proceed if there's nobody else after Carolyn.
Oh, go ahead, Jane. That's all right. I'll wait.
No, I did want to mention something about fair vote, which is contradictory to what I thought I heard Campbell saying. In fact, fair vote has studied our bylaws very carefully, and they were very specific in terms of the work that they did with our elections to make sure that they followed our bylaws.
Campbell first stack.
Okay, so this is obviously a point where we disagree. So, Carolyn and then Campbell.
Yeah, thank you. The national office, all the people in there, as far as I can tell, are new, and that may be why Michael had a problem contacting them for the elections committee. They probably had not had been asked to do this before. And so I would appreciate it if Margie and Janet really explored this carefully with Summer first and made sure that she knew to direct someone to do this job. Because it really is an important
function.
And I do not really think that we should be going outside to do this. We've done it that way for years in the national office. If there's nobody there who's never done it before, which is the case, evidently, then we need to train them and make sure that it gets done right, because I don't really see any need to do it any other way. But if there's a real block, yes, to answer your question, I really would appreciate you coming back to the committee and asking for step two rather than going immediately to an outside organization, if that's all right with everybody. Otherwise, if there are objections to that, maybe we should take a vote. But I really feel kind of strongly that we should not be giving up, and we should be helping the national office do what they're supposed to do. They're on due there.
Wait, one moment. I heard two voices. I heard somebody before. I heard Campbell, and then somebody else, and then...
Lawrence,
okay.
That's Fred.
Yes, it's going to be Campbell, Lawrence, and Fred, but before we proceed, can I ask if we, what I just heard Carolyn say, I thought was very clear, and I'd like to find out if anybody objects to what she just said. What I just heard Carolyn say
yes.
Is that if Janet and...
Object.
Pardon me?
Lawrence objects.
Stop interrupting.
Campbell objects.
Just later, finish.
The chair finish, please. Thank you.
Okay, so you're objecting to what you heard Carolyn say?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, then I'll drop.
You're interpreting it.
That's fine. I was trying to understand what I heard. That's fine. Go ahead. So then Campbell and Lawrence.
Yes. I mentioned Pacifica as being very political, and it is, and very partisan, and it is. I don't know any other place where somebody who's an interim executive director could get away for about 4 months without providing written reports, but that's what's happening here. The people who are in the national office, as I understand it, were all hired by our IEB and certainly would have particular loyalties, and I think those loyalties might express themselves throughout. Was mentioned in regard to fair vote is directly contradictory to what the fair vote folks had indicated and to what the fair vote folks, would agree to. I've got the documentation and can forward it where the chair of that entity indicated that they will not be doing anything in terms of the bylaws, that all that they would be doing would be a count. And, that was all that they did. And, it was, that was very clear in regard to that particular election. And I can share the entire thing that includes our general counsel's opinion in regard to that. But the point is that I think if the people don't feel that the individuals in the national office are inclined to or capable of providing a independent kind of tabulation here, then I think it should be on them to you know, seek an independent outside entity, and that's why such entities as League of Women Voters exist, because they want to ensure that this society is able to conduct elections in a fair, impartial fashion. And I've had them involved in doing them for my tenants association, which is a very political, difficult group as well, when I was a tenant. And, you know, they did an outstanding job here in D.C. I don't know anybody in San Francisco or the Bay Area who's with it, but I imagine that the same kinds of values hold with their affiliates out in California. Thank you.
Margie for the stack.
Hello?
Yes, it was Lawrence, Fred, and then Marky.
Yeah, I think we're treading water here. I think if there's any sense of impropriety, any sense of impartiality, any sense of mistrust, or any evidence and reports from some of the elections that were taking place around the network, then we should definitely, you know, can take that into serious consideration. And I mean, if just a question for Margie. Margie, do you feel that you could supervise or have people who are impartial to supervise the voting count at the national office? And maybe that's a loaded question, but I just thought I'd ask it.
Okay.
No.
Janet Sack.
Well, okay, so the next people on the stack was Fred and then Margie. Since Lawrence asked Margie a question, Fred, do you want her to go ahead?
No, I'll answer when it's my turn. It's fine.
Okay. Okay, what I wanted to say was the problem here is finding somebody that's independent and not involved in Pacifica to do the actual tabulation. The actual tabulation itself technically is very trivial. And in fact, I have a PDF manual on STV that I can provide if somebody needs the gory details. But in reality, nobody's going to get involved in gory details. I mean, you're talking about 12 to 15 votes and tabulating them. And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Margie?
Okay. I know that there have been contentious and difficult elections at other stations, but I want to share with people my experience with these votes that have taken place in the national office. I have been an observer on, I can't even tell you how many committee chair votes, and I think that's mostly what it was committee chair votes, when they were tabulated in the national office, and there's never, ever been a problem. I would sort of be embarrassed to approach the League of Women Voters about, you know, something where there are 12 votes involved. It seems unnecessarily grandiose. What happens is the votes are received by someone, and what we do is the votes come as an attachment to an email. What the woman in the national office did was she stapled the email from the person to the ballot. We checked off the names to make sure that we didn't receive any ballots from anybody who wasn't eligible to vote. We threw those sheets away. Then what we had left were the actual ballots, and we counted the ballots. I don't want to be over dramatic here, but I think that if there's anyone in the national office who is willing to perform this task, it's not going to be problematic. I think we can do this, and I would urge that we do it that way. If it turns out, as was stated earlier, that there's nobody in the national office who's willing to do this or capable of doing this or whatever, we'll come back to you and we'll talk about that. But I honestly think, I just don't believe it's a huge problem. I will say that I have a concern about the national office because there is all new staff, and as far as I know, no jobs have ever been listed. So those people were people who were hired at Summer's discretion. She just simply hired people. I think they're mostly temps. I'm not sure what the situation is, but since no jobs have ever been posted, it's a little hard to figure out. But I really think we can work through this without putting ourselves through too many hoops here.
Janet?
Yes. So basically, ditto what Margie just said. To me, she and I would be answerable to this committee. So I would feel uncomfortable that the two of us would just go off in some whatever other, if it doesn't work with the national office, to find some other entity to do this vote counting. So I think that it is up to Margie and I to see if there is a way to find someone in the national office or find to ask Summer to assign someone in the national office to take on this task, which sounds like it's not a big deal. But and then if that's not possible, then we'll get back to the whole committee to take the next step.
Is there anybody else for the SAC? I think that it would be helpful if we could wrap it up. It sounds. Does anybody have objection to Margie and Janet working to see if it can be if they can?
Just a point of information.
If so, then we'll have to have a vote.
Yeah, just a point of information.
Go ahead, Campbell.
I can remember not too terribly long ago that Summer was going to get somebody to count votes in a recall election, and that was promised for 6 to 8 months or something like that, and never did happen. That's all I'm going to say about it.
All right, so let's talk about timelines here. If it's okay, first of all, do we need a vote on this process, or do we all accept it? Okay, so if you run into problems, by what date are you going to come back to the committee? And then are we going to just do an email exchange, or should we try to have a conference call if this doesn't work out? Today is Tuesday, the 11th. Shall we say by Friday, if a system can't be worked out with the national office, that you'll come back to us and let us know what's going on? And
sure, that sounds perfectly reasonable to me.
Okay.
To me too.
Point of privilege is someone fussing around with their microphone. Could you mute yourself if you're moving furniture or whatever it is that's going on? Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Okay, so then Margaret will prepare the ballot, assume she's able to find somebody in the work out things with the national office. This will go out by Friday. If it doesn't work out by Friday, then they will be asking us to join them to presumably on a conference call or email exchange to figure out an alternative. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, I guess. The point being that we do need to have an agenda set for our next meeting, the 25th. Unless somebody thinks we need to cover anything else on this topic, then we should move on to the two items that Brenda asked us to cover before we adjourn tonight, and then hopefully we can adjourn within 10 minutes, I hope. Is that acceptable? Can we move on to these two additional items Brenda asked us to discuss briefly before we adjourn? She asked us to talk about the notice for the next meeting and the auditor. So without objection, we'll move on to those items. Brenda, what did you have in mind in terms of notice of the next meeting?
Oh, I just wanted to let folks know, and I tried to do this before we got onto the stream, but next Tuesday is the coordinating committee call. So I just wanted to let folks know.
our next meeting is on the calendar already as June 25th.
So it will be June 25th. I know we had mentioned, so I wanted to just confirm with folks.
So June 25th is our next meeting.
Okay.
And when we talked about that date originally, we were hoping that the auditor could join us. The other item, Brenda, that you...
Janet's back on this.
Okay. First with Brenda, I think you asked that we add discussion of the auditor to the agenda. I don't know what you had in mind, and then so if you could speak to that, and then Janet.
I'll let Janet go first since I already spoke about the previous agenda item. So go ahead, Janet.
So notice to me, my understanding is just a timing issue about when the meeting will be, but my concern is about the agenda for the next meeting and how and who would determine the agenda.
Okay. Does anybody want to speak to that, or should Janet? Brenda, what did you have in mind when you asked to add auditor to the agenda for today?
Well, I just wanted to make sure that it's on the stream that I'm requesting that the auditor be contacted to see if they can be on the call, trying to give us a status update for our June 25th meeting.
Okay. All right. So there is a request from a member that we do request in writing that the auditor join us for our June 25th call to provide us with an update.
Janet, back.
Janet, go ahead.
When you say we would request, who is the we? It's my understanding it would be the chair of the meeting or the chair pro tem or an individual who would be preparing an agenda and making any specific requests and notifying everybody else. How does that work?
Anybody for the stack on that?
Margie.
Campbell from stack.
Okay. I think I would like to ask Jane if she would continue to serve as chair pro tem and prepare an agenda. And as we do with some other committees, if you could prepare an agenda a few days in advance and send it as a draft to committee members, and then we'll have a chance to chime in, and it saves some tussle at the beginning of the meeting if we don't have to argue about the agenda. I think that would be the best way to operate at this point.
Campbell?
Yes, I think that it's, well, I've always had for audit committee meetings agendas prepared beforehand and rather explicit in regard to how much time it was going to take. And if we're going to have the auditors there, I think we should have explicit time frames identified, and also have our questions ready so we don't have the auditor there for a conversation over a period of time. That is a very costly proposition. And those would be my thoughts on it, and I had suggested three items that could be engaged early on that could be spin into a number of things that will have tasks associated with them for the next 3 or 4 months. But I think that an additional one may be looking at standing rules that would help Pacifica out of the kind of financial problems that we're in now. It seems as though some folks don't understand that if you do the same thing the same way and expect a different result, you may not really be as plugged in as one would hope to be. And that's sometimes the way I think our national board has operated, not to disparage anyone, but that's what we've done, and we've ended up with two straight going concern alerts, and that really means something. So perhaps this audit committee, if we're functioning in a very positive, forward-thinking way, we can add motivation and inspiration to the national board so that it can do things more effectively as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Campbell. Anybody else for the stack on, as I understand, the question we're talking about is who will prepare the agenda, who will ask the auditor?
Join us.
Those are the two things that I had on the list that we're talking about. Anybody else for the stack?
William?
William, go ahead, please.
On the agenda processing or formulating, on some boards and committees in Pacifica, the agenda, a draft agenda may be sent out, people make comments, and even if the chair or the acting chair makes an agenda before the meeting, it's still open at the meeting because it has to be approved. So then it's still open if somebody wants to add or delete anything. And then the committee at the meeting votes to approve its own agenda to that meeting.
Okay,
That's my suggestion.
Thank you. Thank you, William. I have a suggestion, but if somebody else wants to speak first, I'll defer.
Lawrence Stack.
Go ahead.
Just real quick, I don't know how much longer this meeting is going to go, but I'm in bargaining right now, and I have a bargaining meeting, and I'm just wondering if we can get an idea as to
how much
longer we're going to be.
Yeah, I got a meeting at 8 in the morning.
Can we wrap this up in 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Any suggestions?
3.5.
I have a suggestion for you that if you accept it, we could wrap it up right away. I want to suggest that if the auditor is able to join us, that we should follow Campbell's suggestion of being super organized with the list of questions. And so we should all be planning for plan A is that the auditor is going to join us. And we should just have that be very structured. We don't want to waste his time, and we want to get our questions answered. So we could all just, go with plan A, send our questions to our list, and hopefully everybody knows how to send to the list. It's we'll cover that by email. But plan B, if the auditor is not able to join us, then I think that on our meeting on the 25th, we should discuss how the committee should proceed. So that would be my proposal for our agenda for the 25th.
Yeah. I think it sounds great.
Well, any other comments about that?
Jane, on our meeting on May 22nd, we had Raul on the line, who was our new CFO. Oh. And he expressed an interest in joining this committee on a regular basis to update us on what's happening within Pacifica. Do we want to invite Raul to the meeting on the 25th?
Janet, Stack.
I think that'd be a good idea.
Janet, please go ahead, Janet.
I'm sorry, I dropped away inadvertently for a little bit, so. Regarding who's going to chair the next meeting, is that going to be depending on the speed of any kind of voting process? And if that is not done in time, who would be chair pro tem?
I think that we need to get those ballots tabulated by the next. I think that should be the. Hopefully, we won't have any problem making that happen. Margie asked that for the purpose of preparing an agenda and calling the meeting to order, she just asked if I would continue to serve as chair pro tem. Are there any objections to that? She was asking that I send out the draft agenda a few days in advance. And I just...
No objections from William.
Thank you. I think we're pretty much ready to adjourn on that basis. What I would do then is I would coordinate with... I would coordinate with Fred on contacting the auditor. I think that since Fred has dealt with the auditor previously, that we could coordinate. He can make that invitation. We'll just be clear about how to make the request. Make it clear that we really would like for him to join us on the 25th. And if that can happen, we should all be very clear on our questions and. We'll work to that end. Is there a motion to adjourn on that point?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, thanks. And without objection, we'll...
without objection. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
And thank you, Mark and Janet, for trying to...
Jane, good job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fred. So I'll be in touch with you. I have your number. I got your number.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye.
You give me a call maybe in the this evening.
Okay, I'll call you back in a few. Bye-bye.
Margie, we'll be in touch.
Okay, thanks. And also, Margie, I'm going to send you the attendance list I have typed up already. Bye-bye.